You can take your Bibles, be turning to the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4. Just wanted to make comment concerning this morning's message and a point that I did not use, I used the point, but didn't use the illustration of everyday occurrences, things that occur daily that we ought to give thought to and seek spiritual truth from and insight into. And one example that I thought of right away, and as I thought about it and contemplated it, was the sun, moon, and stars. It occurs daily. And what do you think about it? Well, the sun is the only one that has light within itself. Type of the sun, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, light that lighteth up the world, light of the world. As you consider the moon and stars, that's those that are in Christ. We have no light of our own, but as He shines on us and in us, we reflect His light, we reflect His glory and His honor. So that's just one example that I thought of, and we could think about many things in the course of our everyday occurrences that have great spiritual meaning and truth in them. And these things just happened, right? Just came about. No, they were under the direction of Almighty God. And as we've looked at Genesis chapter 1 and the creation chapter and taken from there the likeness of a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we see that in Genesis 1. Well, we have a magnificent, glorious God who's our Savior, our Redeemer. And we are privileged to be called His. And been set in His body, the Church of Melbourne, Florida, Grace Baptist Church of Melbourne, Florida. And so we're glad that you're here this afternoon, and we're glad that the folks that are online viewing are with us as well, and trust that all will receive, well, rebuke, reproof, exhortation, strength, encouragement. All that comes from the Word of God, you see. Book of Ephesians chapter 4. In the past couple of weeks, we've been dealing with verses 26 and I say 27. We haven't been dealing with it, but we've connected verse 26 and 27 together as they are to be connected together. So be angry and sin not. As we looked at that, we said we're to be angry. That structure there is in the imperative. It is imperative that we be angry. It's also imperative that we sin not. So it's imperative that we be angry, but in our anger that we do not sin. So what is he talking about as we thought about that and discussed that? What is he talking about? Because we have so many scriptures that tell us not to be angry. What was he talking about? Well, just to keep it short, he's talking about a righteous anger, an anger that gets angry with sin. And it's okay to get angry with sin. We should get angry at sin. We should get angry at sin in myself. We should get angry at sin in you. We should get angry at sin in our world in which we live in. And the more so as we see it progressing more and more, and there being a less convicting power of it in the lives of men. We usually look at the fact that God got angry. In the Old Testament, we see God getting angry. Got angry with his people, his Israelites. We look at the fact that Jesus got angry. And in every instance that God got angry and that Jesus got angry, it had to do with sin. It had to do with breaking God's commandments, breaking the law of God. And last week we said that God must be angry with sin. He must be angry with sin on the basis of his holy nature. His holiness and his righteousness demands that he be angry with sin and be angry with the sinner. He cannot regard the conduct of the wicked and look favorably on it. He does not. And we talked a little bit about his righteous judgment that is to fall upon him. Yes, he's merciful and he's long-suffering. And you and I that are his, that name the name of Christ, are glad that he is merciful. And we're glad that he's long-suffering. As we're told in the book of 2 Peter in chapter 3, he's long-suffering. Why? So that his chosen ones might be saved. You see. Now we go on to the next phrase in that verse. We are to be angry. We're to be angry and sin not, as God gets angry and does not sin. Only we are to let not the sun go down on a wrath. Well, now that doesn't that seem like kind of a strange statement to make here? And being angry and sinning not? Only let not the sun go down on your wrath? It is, let anger, your righteous anger, let it do its work. That is, get angry. Protest against sin. Denounce it. Witness against it. Be a witness against evil. And then dismiss it. That's what we're to do with it. You see, in our protesting against it, it's not protest which leads into rioting and looting and destruction of property. That's fighting evil with evil. We're not to denounce it and witness against evil and do it in a violent, destructive manner. We are to get angry, do it in a manner that is without sin, standing up for the Word of God, standing up for what the Word of God says, and then we're to dismiss that anger. Don't put it to bed. Don't put it to rest. You probably heard those terminologies. Do not understand these words to be a license to be angry and to be angry all day long. Don't understand it that way. He's not telling us, it's okay to get angry as long as you don't sin, and it's okay to get angry and be angry all day long. Only, before you go to bed, get rid of it. That's not what he's saying, in principle. What he's saying in principle, we're to get rid of it ASAP. That's the thought. Get angry at sin and then get rid of it. Get rid of it as soon as possible. We see sin in our lives, we get angry with it, upset with it. But we get over it quickly. Sometimes we might say we get over it too quickly. Especially when then I see it in you. And then I'm harder on you than I was on me. That's sinful. We're not to do that. You hypocrite. That's what that boils down to. But we're to get angry at sin, in me, in you, in the world in which we live. But we're not to dwell on that. Yes, it grieves us. When we begin to understand a little bit the passage about Lot, don't we? And he, day after day, he vexed his righteous soul with the wickedness of that city. You know, his soul was vexed day after day. We can understand it. We can understand it in the fact of sin in my life, in the fact of sin in your life, in the fact of sin in the country in which we live, in the world in which we live today. We ought to be vexed with it day after day. It's not what the new man's all about. The new man hates sin. Hate sin in me. Hate sin in you, and hate sin in the world in which we live. We long for the day when we'll be delivered from it. Particularly from this body of sin, which is sinful. John Gill said this: when the heat of the day is over, the heat of the anger should be over. If you haven't gotten rid of it by then, you don't have a license to carry it on until then, but if you still have it by then, it ought to be over with. In other words, sometime by the end of the day, by the end of the heat of the day, it ought to be over with. The heat of your anger ought to be gone. Ought to be over with. If we consider the implications of this. If we take our righteous anger to bed with us, we've gotten angry and we've seen something so horrendous and so terrible, whether it be in my life, your life, or in the world, and we just have dwelt on it all day long and all day long, and we go to bed with it. What's that do? I think we've even mentioned it in the past two messages. What's that do? Does not that give place for contempt? I mean, if we haven't gotten rid of it, and then we go to bed on it, you're probably going to rise up with it in the morning. And anger left to, shall we say, ferment, what's it do? It just keeps working sinful emotions in us. Emotions that had not ought to be there. Come with me to the book of Matthew.
Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. And let's look at the words of Jesus. In verse 22. He said, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." He that's angry at his brother, he has a displaced anger towards him. It's not one that is justified. Not to the point of that anger. Danger of the judgment. You see, if we let our anger go to the point that it is displaced, that it is without justification, and need I remind you that our anger, if we're not careful, can be without justification. Who do we think we are? Who do we think we are? Do we think we're better? Just keep your finger there for a moment. What did he say in the book of Romans in chapter 2? In verse 1, he said, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." We're all sinners. So we have to be careful. Our anger can be without justification. As he said in Matthew chapter 7. We want to remove the little speck from our brother's eye, and we got a beam in our eye. Yes, we should be angry with sin, but it ought to be in a just manner as well. Let's continue on in verse 22. "And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca," oh, empty-headed man, you're empty-headed. And basically, you're an empty-headed fool. And that catches the rest of the verse. "Shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Now, basically, when you say you're empty-headed and you're a fool, you're saying to a brother in Christ, you're saying you're without Christ. When you call someone a fool, that's what you're saying. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then that verse goes on to explain everything that the fool does. His mouth is an open sepulcher. You see. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Back to the book of Romans. Turn with me this time to the 12th chapter. In verse 17. "Recompense, repay to no man evil for evil." You get angry and you strike out at someone, you're repaying them with evil. Our anger is not to be taken out in the point of vengeance. As we see these people who, and you know that I'm pro-life. I don't believe in abortion. I don't believe in that. I believe life begins at conception. But you see the other pro-lifers, and you see them not only demonstrated against these abortion clinics, but you hear of bombings at abortion clinics. You hear of abortion doctors that have been murdered because they practice abortion. The one who did that sinned. Sinned just as great a sin as those who practice abortion.
You see, they repaid evil with evil.
And we're not to do that, he says. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You see, we can show the world the anger of God, the anger that Jesus Christ had, by getting angry at sin and then letting it go. We say our mind. No, we ought to say, "Thus saith the Lord," and then we go on our way. Thus saith the Lord. Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. What does that make sense to you? Listen, he's talking about vengeance. He's talking about seeking vengeance. But give place to wrath. What's he talking about? Well, if you look at this, give place, it means a place that is marked out. In other words, our wrath is to be under boundaries, within boundaries. And it's not to step over those boundaries. And it is to give place, make a space, give place for the wrath of God. You see, we're not to seek vengeance on our own. And that is borne out in the rest of the statement in verse 19, which he says, "For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." You see, we're not to seek vengeance. In our anger, we're not to seek vengeance. We're to give place to the wrath of God. Our wrath is to be under bounds. It's supposed to be restricted, thus giving place to the wrath of God to work and to get vengeance in His time, as He pleases, as He sees fit. And He is the righteous judge. He's the righteous. You see, you and I are not righteous, righteous judge in any sense, only as we judge men according to the Word of God. But in that, I have to judge myself as well. You see. In fact, I should have judged myself first. That's Galatians chapter 6. You know, we're to look to ourselves first. You know, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. In other words, you've looked to your place, you've considered yourself, you make sure there's not a beam in your eye. And then you're able to be of help to your brother. Give space for the wrath of God, for vengeance belongs unto Him. When we let our anger grow, when we take it to bed with us, when we let it brood for long periods of time, we give place for malice. We give place for revenge, contempt. We've given place to the devil. That's our next verse. When we do that, we give place to the devil. He said, neither give place to the devil. I point out to you the fact there that let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's a colon there. That's not a period. In other words, there's more to say. It's the same thing as up there be ye angry and sin not. There's a colon there. I've got more to say on the subject. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. And I'm not done there. There's more to say on the subject. Neither give place to the devil. You see how it's all linked together? When we let our anger go to bed, so to speak, with us, brood for long periods of time, we're giving place to the devil. We're giving a space for the devil to come, and we're giving space for him to be our workshop. If you please. We're not to give space. We're not to give occasion to the devil. Well, how are we to treat the devil? Well, in this matter of anger. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 8. Here's how you're to treat that anger. Treat the devil. Be sober. Verse 8. Chapter 5, 1 Peter, verse 8. Be sober. Be of a sound mind. Be vigilant. That is, be on guard. Be watchful. Be alert. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And let me tell you, he's walking about, and he's seeking that angry person who lets it go to bed, lets it rest for a long time. He's seeking out that angry person. He might get you. And cause you to do something you'll regret.
Cause me to do something I'll regret. Boy, as I started these messages on anger, I told you I have a lot of regrets when it comes to that. But praise God, he's worked on me and he's still working on me. We need to beware of his devices. We need to beware of this matter of anger. See, Satan will take that occasion if we let it rest too long. Satan will take that occasion and use it for his workshop. Use it for his instrument of evil. We don't want to be used to him for evil. We want the world to see Jesus Christ. See him living in us. Ephesians chapter 6. And at the rate we're going, we got a long time before we'll get here. So we're good shape. I was looking. I guess it was yesterday. The first part of, I think it's the 5th of October, we'll have been in this fourth chapter of Ephesians a year and 5 months, just on this one chapter. This chapter's been full of instructions for the child of God who's a member of the Lord's church. But Ephesians 6, and I want to read verse 11. Well, we got to read verse 10 with it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Listen, the anger issue that we've been talking about, that's not in you to have that kind of anger. It's not in me to have that kind of anger. I've told you what my past was. But we can be strong in the Lord. We can be strong in the Lord. With the Lord's strength, we can overcome anger that sins. That's what we're talking about. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh, he's a wily, subtle individual. He paints beautiful pictures.
He can make you think, listen, my anger is justified because it's against sin. And that fella don't deserve to live because he's sinning.
That's Satan. That's Satan. We're fighting against those wiles of the devil. So we have to have God's armor. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, we got to take the shield of faith. The shield. The shield is by which we deflect. The shield of faith. Our faith drives us where? Our faith drives us to the feet of Jesus. It keeps our eyes on Jesus. It keeps us looking to Him. Not looking to this man. This man has failed me many, many times. Many times. But Jesus has never failed me. He never fails. He will not fail. We're to take that shield of faith and to quench, to put out all the fiery darts of the wicked. And boy, he's got a host of them. Yeah, I mean, he's got them himself, and then he's got all his angels out there that have followed him, and they're all working at his bidding. Boy, as we look in the world today, they're on every side. They're on every hand. But let us rest in faith. Faith which has been given to us of God. Faith which is in Jesus Christ. To be strong, and for our strength. Don't give him advantage to influence your heart. Don't give him advantage to influence your heart. Now, maybe you're sitting there and, well, I would never. I would never. Well, I'll tell you what. There's a couple people that lived, shall we say, in a much better time than we live, but how can we say that? Turn with me to the book of Acts, in chapter 5. But the time that I'm talking about is when the time when the church at Jerusalem, they were gathered together and they were in great unity. I mean, they were as one. So much so that we would almost say they were practicing communism. Only you understand communism in the world is you still got your people up here that they have all the money, and all the rest of you are living in a community. But that wasn't the church there. The apostles didn't have all the money. It was the Lord's. They were all the apostles and all the membership of that church and however big it was at that time, 20,000, thousands, were as one. And they were selling property and they were bringing the money from the sale of property in and laying it at the apostles' feet, and the apostles distributed to every man as they had need. And all these people were doing that, and Ananias and Sapphira saw what all these other people were doing, and probably people were praising them, thanking the Lord for them, thanking the Lord that they gave so willingly and so freely. And so Ananias and Sapphira said, I want a part of that. And we're going to sell this parcel of land, and we're going to sell it for this amount of money. And we get that amount of money, but we ain't going to tell them that we got this amount, which is maybe only half of what we actually got, and say this is all we got.
They were influenced by Satan. They were influenced by Satan for evil. Acts chapter 5, in verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? You see, Peter said Satan had filled his heart to do that. I do not need to think that I'm above that. I don't need to think that I'm above Satan influencing me for bad. And you don't either.
We have to have the whole armor of God on. And when we get to that sixth chapter, we'll go through the whole armor. I don't know how long it'll take us. I suspect it might take us a while. I don't know. We'll see. But we need the whole armor of God. And particularly, he tells us to take the whole armor of God that we might be able to fight against the wiles of the devil. And then he tells us to take the shield of faith wherewith we can quench, we can extinguish, we can put out all the fiery darts of the wicked that are coming at us. All you got to do is look around and save people. People that you know and have given good evidence of salvation in their life. Churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see all the fiery darts that are being thrown out there. I'm telling you, churches have a battle. Well, how are we going to extinguish those fiery darts? With the shield of faith. We need to be grounded in the Word. As we're talking about a righteous anger that does not sin, that we don't take to bed, that we don't let it rest too long with us, and don't give place to Satan. We need to be grounded in the Word. I've lived over 69 years, and I've seen even people who aren't given to long periods of anger get angry and sin. We're all capable. We need to be grounded in the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. We need to look to Him. Our strength, our help has to come from Him. I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. And don't think, I'm not one that's given to lying. I get angry, and then 2 minutes later, it's gone. I forget about it. Don't think you're past getting angry and letting it roost for a long period of time. I mean, Satan, if you're thinking that way, Satan wants to get a hold of you. You see, that's pride that caused you to think that way.
And pride, what's pride do, Brother France? It goeth before destruction. All right, shall we stand? Be dismissed in a word of prayer.